Hey, this is George O'Connor coming from OOIDA, Communications Director out in Washington, D.C., hoping to provide some helpful information for the folks out there.
Hey, you know what? Instead of an introduction, we'll just go with that right now and just keep going.
Good. Like,
you want to just keep going? Let's keep going.
Let's go.
All right, TalkCDO, we've got George O'Connor here with us today, and he is from the OOIDA, the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, George.
Happy to be here. This is my second MATS. I was here last year for the first MATS. So it's a little easier this year now that I kind of have the lay of the land. I love the energy, and there's going to be a few days left here, and looking forward to walking around talking to folks.
So, George, real quick, how big is the OOIDA now?
Yep, well, so we represent roughly 150,000 truckers across America and in Canada as well. Now, these are small business truckers, owner-operators, some company drivers as well. So there's a diversity in our membership. From all walks of life, all across the country, from Alaska all the way down to Florida. So, we are geographically diverse, and they're all small business truckers.
George, when you walked up to the booth, you mentioned a bunch of topics. The one that caught my eye was speed limiters. Can we talk about that?
You got it. So to give you a little bit of background here, the American Trucking Associations years ago petitioned the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, the FMCSA, to mandate speed limiters.
Who petitioned it again?
American Trucking Associations.
Okay.
So they represent the big guys, the big fleets.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yep. Yeah. And so some of these large fleets already have speed limiters on their trucks for whatever their motivation is. Maybe it's liability for insurance. Maybe it's
fuel savings.
Fuel savings. Emissions efficiency. And they're welcome to do whatever they want to do to their fleets. Fine. But what they get into now is called regulatory capture. So by speed limiting their own fleets, the owner operators, the little guys, the small business truckers aren't speed limited. So if the speed, they are based on the speed limit, but not based on devices on their trucks. So if the speed limit's 70, our guys are going 70. Whereas the larger fleets, if they're speed limited to 62 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour, they're going 62 or 65 miles an hour. So there's a competitive advantage by not having these speed limiters on the trucks. But they don't like that. They don't like that competition. So they want to bring everyone down to whatever they want. And they're going through the federal government to make that happen. So that's called regulatory capture. So they don't want to compete fairly. What they want to do is through influencing the regulatory process, what they want to do is make everyone go the same speed that their guys are going.
Yeah, they're basically limiting people instead of enhancing. So they're wanting to limit the little guy as they have already self-limited themselves.
Exactly. So they put a cap on them on their own drivers, and they say, well, now we're not able to compete as well. So what do? They want to undercut everyone else.
Yeah. See, exactly. So because they have thousands of trucks, they already bring the rates down to begin with, because they can do that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the more trucks you have, the less you can haul for, obviously. And then, like you said, now where's our other issue? Okay, so a lot of drivers, they don't want to drive for a company. I mean, look, everybody had to get their start. Let's be honest, okay? If you don't mind, I'll name some companies. J.B. Hunt, U.S. Express, mm-hmm. Knight, all these really, really big companies that have thousands of trucks. Okay, they're a great company to get your start at. Okay,
sure.
You got to somebody's got to give you a start in trucking, but I almost feel like they're trying to keep you prisoner, in a sense, by trying to regulate the industry or dictate what the FMCSA or whoever is going to regulate the speed themselves because of, like you said, competition, and it's blatant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is literal blatant. And then what is the... Somebody told me the other day, as far as the speed goes, that it's going to be 65. Is Is this going to happen? First off, is it going to happen? Is it going to come down?
Well, not if we have our way. So we're fighting tooth and nail in Washington, D.C. to ensure that the that this doesn't go through. And there are a couple ways that we're doing that. Last year, the FMCSA actually accidentally leaked 68 miles an hour.
I seen that. Yeah.
In the what they call the regulatory agenda, we immediately called them out on that, and started ginning up our folks, and they quickly rescinded that and said, whoa, we're going to wait till December to release it. Well, look, we're sitting here in March, and they've kicked the can down the road again to May. Now, in the interim time period, there's been congressional engagement on this issue with allies to small business truckers in Congress. There was a hearing in December where the now former FMCSA administrator was testifying, and she received a litany of questions about the speed limiter mandate and how much nonsense it is. They're putting two and two together here, she resigned about a month later. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, there could have been for personal reasons, could have been for other reasons, but she's no longer at the top. And they say they're going to release the rule in May. But in the meantime, we're supportive of legislation in both the House and the Senate that if it were to go through, it would defund this entire regulatory process. It would be the speed limiter mandate would be stopped in its tracks. And there's a way that we can keep working on that through, not to get into the weeds here, through the appropriations process to pull money from the FMCSA for going through this regulatory process.
So your expert opinion, it sounds like you've been overseeing this whole process and you're really staying tuned with it. What does your gut tell you? Are we leaning more towards it not happening, or are we leaning towards it happening? Where are you at with that?
To be perfectly honest, I think a lot is going to do. I wouldn't be shocked if they kick this can down the road yet again, because you're getting closer to a presidential election where the politics get very, very heated. And, a couple months out before the election, the administration releasing a very controversial rule like this that's going to have people pretty angry. It's not good politics if you're trying to reach out to blue collar industries.
Wow. So you're 50-50 basically on this, right?
Yep. And yeah. And so we'll see what happens, but we're not going to take this line down. I can tell you that.
You know, over the years, there's been different issues that have driven, seriously, owners and other companies to say, you know what, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
This sounds like would be one of the absolute biggest ever, because, I mean, I drove for many years.
Yeah.
And I've been in a truck that, I started in a truck that did 55 in a cab over running New York City, unloading my own trucks. It was insane, right?
Sure.
And then, years later, I'm at 70, 75, then a triple-digit truck. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to go back. You get a truck. I mean, let's face it. If the speed limit's 70, police aren't pulling us over at 75, 78. So technically, you're castrating these trucks a lot more than it meets the eye, actually. So in a roundabout way, my question really is, do you feel this would drive a lot of drivers out of the industry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I hate to be picking on our friends over at ATA yet again, but, they tend to advocate for policies that are just not good for drivers. They're good for companies, large companies, not good for drivers. And, These are the folks that keep talking about a driver shortage that doesn't exist. It hasn't existed. There's actually too much capacity in the market. After COVID, after a lot of folks jumped in, when the rates were high, it's a very different freight economy right now. Yet they're still saying there's a driver shortage. Why is that? Because they want to keep policies going that provide them cheap labor. Now, the problem with that is that the sources of their cheap labor tend to be inexperienced drivers. They churn them through these driving schools, you know, in a couple weekends, and it's not good for public safety. So this isn't necessarily, like, we can go back to speed limiters again. It's not necessarily just a trucking issue. This is anyone who rides on the roads. Because with speed limiters, let's say it's a 75 mile an hour speed limit, they get speed limited to 60, that's a 15 mile an hour speed differential. Well, the physics are straightforward here. That if you're the truck and you're going 60 and everyone else is flying by you, 15 miles an hour faster, you're gonna have more interactions with these 80,000 pound trucks. That's how accidents happen, is with interactions. And it's bad for the truckers, and it's bad for public safety. So why are they doing it? Greed.
Well, I agree. And I don't know if you've seen, I think it was last week we did a report on, I believe there was some roads on the eastern side of Tennessee, maybe. Did you see that?
Yep, I sure
where
did.
They actually did studies to actually back up what you're saying, that the safety was just not there when you have a split speed.
Yep.
And so going back to what you were saying, you know, you've got cars, honestly, let's be honest, 70 mile an hour, like in Georgia on 95, for example.
Yep.
They're doing 85, 90. I mean, honestly, now just imagine dropping the trucks all down to 65. You're going to have a lot more accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely going to have a lot more accidents.
No question about it. And I mean, and then think about down in Texas. You know, it's 80 miles an hour in some spots. Let's say, you're trucking overnight. You're the only one on the road. Yeah, you're stuck going 60 miles an hour. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You know, something else a lot of people don't realize, and you were talking about greed. If you look at miles per hour on a truck, let me tell you what that equivalates to. Man hours.
Yep.
Now, take a good majority of the country. Like, first off, the big trucking companies are not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
The little guy and the smaller companies that are like 100 trucks, 200 trucks, they outweigh the big guy. Okay. Oh, I shouldn't call him the big guy, but what I was getting at, though, is you take those carriers and bring them down to 65 miles an hour. Do you know how many hours you add on to the driver that was able to average 10 more mile an hour than the big carriers? Take that in consideration with the hours of service.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden you add all these man hours in. You're now squeezing more labor hours into the transportation industry, which is going to be even more insane. So hiring drivers will even get harder. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll need more drivers.
Yep. You'll need more trucks for the amount of freight. I mean, the freight demand's not gonna go down.
Yeah.
It's less efficient and it's less safe.
Okay.
And the motivation is profit.
Okay.
It's bottom line.
So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna make a note here to call you if I can down the road.
Sure.
And bring you back on after after May or whatever, because you can call into our studio.
Oh, excellent.
And mix right in, and maybe we can kind of talk about the latest episode, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
But you had also mentioned, what was the other thing we were talking about? You had mentioned another.
Well, it could have been truck parking.
No.
It could have been autonomous vehicle. Autonomous
trucks. Let's talk about autonomous trucks, because that is a huge subject and obviously a huge concern with, what is it, 3 million tractor-trailer drivers in the United States,
yep.
Not to mention Class B. Autonomous trucks, I mean, it's, what's funny is to me now, this is my take. They've been trying this for years. They've got billions invested into it. So mm-hmm. they're not turning around. They want this, obviously. One of the things that they had said when they started the autonomous industry was, oh, you'll never ever see a truck driver not in a truck. They'll always need truck drivers.
Yep.
Well, they're now talking about driverless trucks. I mean, talking zero anybody in there. What does the United States look like if all of a sudden in the next 10 years only 20% trucks had truck drivers in it? What where are we at?
Well, it would be certainly less safe, I can tell you that. And once again, there's going to be a theme here. I think a lot of these investors are looking for a return on investment right now, because they've been promised for the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, yeah, this technology is right around the corner. Well, it's been right around the corner for quite a bit of time. And in the meantime, there's been a number of these AV companies that have folded up, because the technology's not there, it's more complicated than they anticipated, and the investors are asking, like, hey, where's my money? Where you've made promises that this was gonna be there. And just most recently, in Texas, there's almost a test road, but it's actually a public road, between Houston and Dallas, where they're running these AV trucks. It's Aurora and it's Kodiak, and I believe Gaddick as well is one of the other companies. And what they're saying is, by the end of this calendar year, 2024, so back in January, they were at CES, the big tech conference, and they called their shot. They said, by the end of this year, we're going to be operating with no drivers. We're pulling the drivers out. Now, a couple weeks later, in February, in Aurora's own investor presentation, they said that the safety technology is 93% there. So these two things don't add up. Either it's going to be pushed well beyond the end of 2024, or that 93% number's got to change significantly in the next few months. Because I don't think anyone in Texas or anywhere else in the country wants to look next to them in the middle of a sleet storm or in rough road conditions, not see a driver in this 80,000-pound vehicle and say, well, at least it's 93% safe. That's terrifying. And anyone who's on the public roads should be concerned about this. Again, this is not just a trucking issue. This is a public safety issue. This is a public roadway issue. I mean, the folks in Texas, God love them, they did not sign up to be guinea pigs in this test.
Well, they sure are, though. And
yeah.
In fact, they just opened the first fully autonomous distribution center. Did you see that? In Texas, they are not naming. They said it's undisclosed.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, but they had some video of it. CDL Life, I think, had some video of it, right? And they were showing these autonomous yard trucks.
Okay.
Running around the yard and stopping, and then kind of they got stuck for a second. Then they worked it out, backing up. But they're fully autonomous. They're backing in the door. Everything is, I guess, all humanless there, and this is in Texas, and it's. You know, there's only one or two people that it could be doing at huge distribution centers.
Sure.
Most likely the big one.
Mm-hmm.
As far as them signing up to be guinea pigs, I mean, who's making the decisions in Texas? Is it Abbott? I mean, what's going on there?
So it's the Texas Department of Transportation is sort of allowing this, and they're, I think, providing some guidance on it. Another thing to think about is, these robo-taxis, these AV cars, they've been in the headlines a lot lately, especially in California. Cruise is one particular company, I think, that was put on pause in San Francisco because these cars kept running into stuff. And they're, if you can't get it right on a four-wheeler, why in God's name would you put this stuff on an 80,000-pound truck?
Absolutely.
And think it's going to be in any way safe for the general public.
What was the company in Vegas that killed the person on the bicycle?
Yeah, that was either Cruise, it could have been Waymo. So a couple of these companies are out there. Waymo is, I think, an offshoot of Google or Alphabet. And then Cruise, I want to say, is part of GM. The tech is not ready there. It's pretty clear, and it's certainly not ready on 80,000-pound trucks.
George, let me take you back for a second to a comment you made, which I was unaware of. The road from San Antonio to Dallas, I thought it was just I-35 they were using. So you're saying they have a test road?
No, it's a public road. So it is the road that is connecting.
Is it Interstate 35?
I believe it might be.
Okay.
I'd have to double check on that. But as of right now, they've been using the test drivers. So these AV trucks have been operating with a test driver.
Okay.
And so what these companies are saying is, by the end of this year, they're pulling the drivers out.
Now, I remember when they started, you know, doing that test drive you're talking about. And so the, what I was told, or what I had read, was there was a mechanic in the truck, a tech guy in the truck, and a driver. There was three humans in that truck making sure everything's right. So here's my take on that. You've got millions of miles going back and forth, right? And they've got several trucks doing this. I believe J.B. Hunt might be involved in it. Okay? So you've got all these millions of miles. You're basically training the truck by driving it back. You know, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not like the autonomous technology did it. I would love to be a fly on the wall. For real. I mean, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall in that truck of how many times did that driver have to grab the steering wheel over the last so many years? And how many times is he still grabbing it? I would really like to know that, because just by going by what you're saying, they sound very unsure of themselves.
Yeah, well, and I tell you what, your curiosity is shared by us, and we've actually reached out to them. We've reached out to them to do ride-alongs, to do test drives. They and I think what kind of gets at us a little bit is there was a hearing in Congress in September of last year. It was actually on during Trucker Appreciation Week. Oh, the irony. So these CEOs and representatives from the autonomous vehicle industry were looking members of Congress who were expressing concern, and these folks looked members of Congress right in the eye and said, "Hey, we want to work with truck drivers. We want to get their feedback. We want to hear from the trucking community, because we want to, you know, instill best practices and make sure we have the technology right for safety." All right. Well, we took them up on it, and guess what?
They found an excuse not to have you.
No, it's been radio silence. So, you know, I don't. We're trying to figure that out. And the thing is, on the federal level, there's very little regulation of this stuff. I mean, and what we're, well, because we have some of the same concerns as you have, wanted to be a fly on the wall. I think the public deserves to know how far along this technology is, what the data is, and the only thing required by, there's nothing actually required by the federal government at this point for reporting data. It's all voluntary. So if these companies decide to cherry pick data and give it to the FMCSA, they're welcome to do that. But they're not going to put their dirty laundry out there.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, when anybody's selling anything, or anybody's trying to convince somebody, even in a court, one side is saying, here's the reason why this is guilt. Here's the reason why. And the other side is saying, here's the reason why it couldn't be guilt. So everybody's going to produce their own data, their own experts, their own numbers. And so it sounds like, without it being regulated, that's what we're getting. We're getting what they choose to give us.
Yep. You're exactly right.
Let me ask you, you remember when all this started? I believe in Arizona, the truck thing, is it called spooning, where there's a lead truck and he's controlling the truck behind him and there's no driver
platooning?
In. Oh, platooning.
Platooning, yeah.
Oh, spooning. A little weird. All right, so we got a little comedy today. But anyways, the platooning, is that still going on?
I know that, I think Locomation was looking into that. That was one of their big things, and they're one of these companies that's shrunk in size to, you know, a handful of engineers at this point. So I'm not entirely sure if that's something that you know, these companies are still looking into or not, but they were definitely doing some research on it and testing on it in past years.
Okay, so finally on the autonomous subject, recently we've seen a lot of these companies go bankrupt. Some have gone bankrupt. I seen one just pull all their stuff out of the United States, and they're concentrating somewhere else. And I don't know if you can name some names, because I can't remember which ones did it. And tell me about that. And what does that really tell us about the autonomous industry?
Yeah, that's another topic that deserves some scrutiny when it comes to these companies and their technology. Is too simple. Referencing. And if the Wall Street Journal did some great investigative reporting on Too Simple, because Too Simple was
the company Too Simple.
The company TUSIMPLE. They were being investigated under the Espionage Act for Yeah, for transferring technology back and forth to China. So you were talking about this company that's no longer operating in the United States. They're exclusively operating in China.
Interesting.
So whether it's stealing technology, or possibly even more nefarious things on the cybersecurity front. So, for example, if your cybersecurity is not top notch on some of these trucks, I mean, what the heck happens if a hacker can get in there to an 80,000 pound truck or a fleet of 80,000 pound trucks? The damage that they could do. And look, it doesn't have to be necessarily a state actor or the highest levels of the People's Republic of China. I mean, there are just hacker activists and terrorists out there that use hacking as a method of it could be really, really bad news. Could really, really be bad news.
Not to mention, truck jacking is a big thing in like Memphis, Tulsa, Miami, where loads get stolen. It's a common.
Sure.
Imagine a hacker. He could just,
there you go.
Could be 1,000 miles away and just take over a truck, drive it to a chop shop or a warehouse and steal it. But worse though, like you said, terrorists. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine a terroristic incident where one of these big companies, okay, that we were talking about earlier, where 100 of their trucks get hacked, and next thing you know, it's an assault out on the public with tractor trailer. I'm just saying, there's a lot that can happen with anything that has a computer chip in it.
There, I mean, and I tell you what, just the most a recent example is the federal agency. CISA, it's called, is the acronym, Cyber Security Infrastructure Security Administration. Forgive me for not remembering exactly. They got hacked.
Yeah.
The agency that is in charge of cybersecurity was hacked.
Wow.
So anyone can be hacked. So when in these investor presentations, when this stuff gets brought up, what are you doing on the cybersecurity front? Well. They said, well, we have top-notch cybersecurity. I'm sorry. There's a vulnerability there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a vulnerability there. I mean, the healthcare system over the last couple months there was a company that kind of does billing on the back end. They were hacked. And it was a huge monkey wrench that got thrown into the entire healthcare system. So it's just the nature of things that, it's the reality these days that it's something you have to be concerned about, and why connect it with 80,000 pound trucks?
George, I'll give you an example of the bad guy versus the good guy, hacking versus security. Do you remember the pirate boxes that you could get like free HBO and
Do you remember
that back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I met people that were in the security part of that. And they said, well, listen, here's what happens. They said, we keep building the box that will block them. And then they turn around and build something that will unblock that. Yep. And then we build something to block that. And it's no different in computer everything in this autonomous industry. You figure a way to block these guys. Somebody's going to figure out a way to go around that. It's just the way it's always been. So you may block one thing, and then you got to have to block the next new technology.
Yep.
So I guarantee you, you're right about that. There is a very huge danger of trouble lurking around the corner with autonomous. So anyways, I don't want to beat a dead horse. We covered two subjects. I'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and even if you got time, before the show's over, before Saturday, maybe I can get you on for another half hour or so.
Absolutely.
Does that work for you? I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I see you got calls coming in. Go ahead and take care. George, thanks for coming on, and he is with the OOIDA.
Thanks for having me, and here with OOIDA, representing 150,000 truckers, and if you're not a member and you are a small business trucker, we strongly suggest you join.
Absolutely. Okay, brother. Thank you very much. Peace. Praise the Lord. If you're a driver looking for a new trucking job, check out NCI. NCI offers the following: new Kenworth T680s, competitive wages, solo, team, and students welcome, plus a full benefit package for you and your family. Check them out today at 888-311-7076. That's 888-7076. And tell them TalkCDL sent you. Hey, drivers. Are you sick of watching the other drivers bypass the weigh station while you are held up going through yourself? Well, download DriveWise today at www.drivewise.com. That's DriveWyze.com. And start bypassing the scales yourself. If you're a small carrier, an owner-operator, or even a big fleet looking for something better, check out DriveWise today. And remember, there's no equipment, no transponders needed when you're using DriveWise. Check them out for a free download at www.drivewyze.com. Drivers, if you're looking for a local, home, everyday driving job, apply with Carter Lumber today. They have positions for Class A and Class B local drivers. They can take experienced drivers, students, and non-CDL drivers. With over 160 locations, chances are they have a position for you. So go to carterlumber.com/talkCDL and apply today. Again, that's carterlumber.com/talkCDL. Thank you. Truck Parking Club is a network of instantly reservable daily and monthly truck parking locations throughout the U.S. Truck Parking Club helps connect truckers to truck parking locations throughout the U.S. via truckparkingclub.com. Our networks is made up of property owners that have locations adequate for truck parking to list on the platform. This includes trucking companies, storage companies, CDL schools, trailer leasing companies, real estate investors, truck parking operators, and more. Go to truckparkingclub.com today.